Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we're joined by special guests Gregory Parks and Duck Washington. They're here to help us talk about the murder of George Floyd and what's been happening since then.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Hey, that's me.
And Nick Glover.
Hello.
This is a special episode. We're bringing this to you in the middle of our usual week. We have special guests with us, Duck Washington.
Hello.
And Greg Parks.
Hey, everybody.
Both former guests of the show, friends of the show. We are here to talk about the murder of George Floyd and the Minneapolis uprising and in the broader context, the uprising and protests that have happened in cities across the nation.
And across the world.
Across the world too, yeah. Mm. As a result of this unlawful murder by the police.
We're all local to here, and we all either live in Minneapolis or St. Paul or have lived in Minneapolis and St. Paul. I have friends and family there. So we thought a local update might be useful.
So a rough timeline. It has been not quite 2 weeks. Since George Floyd was murdered,
just over a week.
Oh my God!
Yeah, on the 25th.
Yeah. So on May 25th, four Minneapolis police officers pulled over George Floyd for reasons, I guess.
He wasn't even driving a car. He was. Okay. Sitting in his car outside of Cup Foods. Cup Foods is a business that does like check cashing. And so they do regular checks for fraudulent bills. Mm-hmm. And apparently one of the bills that George Floyd had was a counterfeit, a forgery. It was a forged $20 bill.
Which has happened to people before.
He probably didn't even know it was a forged $20 bill.
Yeah.
Right.
But their standard practice is to call the police when that happens. And so George Floyd went to his car and waited. And then the police showed up and they killed him.
Yep. What is that? Is it Chauvin? What is his first name? I can never.
Derek Chauvin.
Derek Chauvin knelt on his neck.
I'm so pissed. I share my real first name.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
And that motherfucker did that.
If it helps, nobody thinks of you as Derek. But you're safe.
By now,
at least your first name's not Karen, because then you would have a real grievance.
Wow.
That would be hard for you.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to go over the details like in a lot. Everyone's probably knows.
The video is available all sorts of places.
I think an important detail of the video is it was 8 minutes and 46 seconds.
Yep.
In
which he knelt on his neck.
Right.
With three other officers in proximity doing absolutely nothing.
Or assisting. There were two of them that were helping him hold him down.
Hold him down.
People were watching. People were screaming, stop.
Right. So they were completely, they were not only ignoring George Floyd's calls that he couldn't breathe and that he was dying. Mm-hmm. They were also not listening to the pedestrians who were pleading for his life at the same time.
I mean, people were saying, check his pulse. We think something's wrong. Like, it's really bad. You're murdering him. And yes, agreed. If you haven't watched the video, watch the video. It is uncomfortable. If it triggers you, it is a content warning, obviously. But if you can watch the video, I think it's important to watch the video.
But maybe don't share it on Facebook and stuff.
No.
Like, people don't know.
But personally yourself, I think you need to see what this like officer of the law purportedly did to a citizen.
Quote, unquote,
fucking nothing.
Law.
Yeah. I think
it's important to see his face. It's so dispassionate. It's like,
the officer's
just
face.
Thing I'm doing. Yeah.
Yeah. The murderer's face.
Yeah.
SFW. It's another day at the office. Hello, Ralph. Ka-chink, you know.
Were there Was there a protest that same night or was it the next day?
There it was really the word got out that following morning.
That's like
I didn't know about what had happened until the video got posted on Tuesday morning.
That's when I heard
the first protest happened on Tuesday night.
Yep.
Because it's so like the murder Monday. Happened at like 8 o'clock in the evening on Monday.
Yeah. So the protests started Tuesday and have not stopped. They have spread throughout the cities. And when did, I really hate to use the word riot because it is rooted in like white supremacy and things. And it implies that there isn't a justification for what's happening. But I know that.
So
yeah.
Yeah. So there was damage to things started that first protest. There was a little bit of damage that happened to some police vehicles primarily.
Weird.
During that first protest. That was also, you know, like the police started with their tear gas and rubber bullets during that first protest as well. It was the second night of protests where we started to see more arson and more business destruction.
And I think that it's that second night, that Wednesday night of protests, that became apparent that was when white supremacy groups and other, I mean, just outside instigators started coming in.
Yeah. Well, the AutoZone dude was caught on so many phones, and he was so casual. And there were people who were present who were protesting who were confronting him.
Yeah. So it seemed like the violence got kicked off basically. Like from everyone's reports, the first thing that really kicked off the worst of the violence and destruction was this fully fucking riot geared out dude in like mask and it's a white dude because they caught him on video, just casually walking by the AutoZone and smashing the windows. And people are trying to come up to him and say like, don't. And he just shakes them off and keeps going on his way. And then runs.
There's a young black man holding a hot and ready Little Caesars pizza in his hand who gets up in the guy's face and tries to stop him and tries to confront him. The guy responds with physical aggression very easily, very quickly. The kid backs off.
Mm-hmm.
That kid, class act, never drops his pie, takes a moment to hit his blunt on camera. Like,
yeah, he's like, wait, you want to go? Hold on just a minute. Let me, you know.
Yeah.
I've heard people refer to him as Mr. Hot and Ready.
Which is nice. Oh, dude,
Dude was hot and ready. He was like Riot Aryan had like maybe a head on him. Mm-hmm. Like at least a head on this dude. Mm-hmm. And this little dude was just, he was like ready. He's like, nope. Yeah. Like, you don't.
Yeah.
Hot and Ready. I was like, what, you want to go? And Hot and Ready was like, yep, just a minute. You
know? It certainly seems like this was some sort of agent provocateur situation. Somebody who like went in to cause trouble and start shit. Like to hopefully tip over and inflame and incite tensions to the point where other people then joined in. Because as we know, like it's there's that kind of contagious human element where if someone starts fucking with stuff, it's like a food fight in a cafeteria, right? One kid throws mashed potatoes and everyone's like, oh man, I have always wanted to throw food. Like, let's fucking do it, right? And like
crowd mentality.
It is a crowd mentality.
It happens. It's like a documented thing. It's unfortunate.
And I mean, basically that's when the National Guard was called in on Friday.
I think they were starting to get called in when the third precinct burned. I think that is when they started to arrange to get them there, but it obviously takes time for them to organize and fly in.
And the third precinct.
Yeah, they were waiting for, they were, according to our elected officials, that there were steps and processes that didn't happen to get the orders to the National Guard to actually come in on time. That I think that was Thursday evening. And so it was Friday was the first real day where we really had National Guard on the ground.
And I think Wednesday night, that was also the night that things expanded into St. Paul. There was some property damage in
Midway,
in St. Paul and Midway as well. So,
and even some of the suburbs, there was, I mean, looting, I know, at Rosedale Mall and Roseville.
So if you don't understand, this is the only way I can make this sound so serious. Literally all of the Targets in the Twin Cities have been closed indefinitely.
This is where Target is based, people. This is their home city.
Right.
They've also,
I think people might not understand that how Minnesotan Target is. People joke about Minnesotans needing to make a weekly trip to Target to pay homage. Like there's one in every fucking city in Minnesota.
Night, basically every gas station, every convenience store in the central Twin Cities was destroyed. At least partially, at best,
vandalized extensively. Right.
And it was an interesting situation of targeting. It seemed to me.
If you look at any of the damage maps, when there are specific areas where like lots of things are damaged, but then there's like little outskirts, like this speedway and this speedway, mm-hmm. and you know, where it's just
and this
like,
pharmacy. And yeah. this pharmacy. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like vet clinics were getting looted because of the pills and drugs they have on site and things like that, too. I mean, it was very obviously like, I don't know. There is that joke I saw. I mean, people have made a joke, but it's like nobody who's from here would leave alone the Lake Street Kmart and burn the post office.
Right.
Like, that's insane. Like, that's not, exactly. That's obviously outside forces.
Since the National Guard has come in, we've had a curfew every night.
Even in Eden Prairie, where Nick and I are.
And we're like a second-tier suburb.
Yeah.
And so with the curfew, the first night of the curfew, the Minneapolis police were off the street with that curfew. It was just the state troopers and National Guard out. And from what I've heard from my friends that live around like Portland and Park in 46th, and my mom is on like 38th and Lindale, so not quite as far east as UDuck, but like as far south, they said that the first night the cops were off the street was a relief to them. And I don't know if that's because of the curfew or the cops being off the street or mm-hmm. what, but...
But that's about where we are now. So that's, I mean, basically timeline wise, that's, you know, there's obviously more details in there, but I think you can look them up if you want to know those more specifics, but we're still under curfew. There are still protests and no idea what's going to happen tonight. We're under a thunderstorm right now. Like everything is, I'd like to think that a thunderstorm would keep people from wanting to go out and burn stuff, but maybe not. Maybe they'll just try harder.
It does make it harder to burn stuff.
It does. And it makes it more, I think it also, people who are well-meaning, who are just wanting to protest and wanting to protest the curfew in general, the cops in general, and who aren't looting or destroying and who are just like, no, I'm going to use my First Amendment right and be on the street and protest, might be more inclined to stay home when it's raining, you know, leaving it more obvious who is actually doing all of this nefarious shit that is, you know, causing our problems. But I don't know.
I can tell you that even as the big rains came down here, the protesters stayed out there.
Okay.
I've seen coverage of them dealing with, like, suffering through the rain.
Yeah. Yeah. Next, I want to talk about Bob Kroll because, he is the commissioner.
He's the president of the union.
Okay, I wasn't sure if it was a president or a commissioner title.
I think it's important to note that Bob Kroll, as the union president for the Minneapolis Police, he is not chosen by Minneapolis residents. He's not an elected official. The people that pick him to represent cops are cops. The Minneapolis police pick him to represent and protect their interests.
And he is an active duty police officer.
Yes. Yes. A lieutenant, I think.
Great.
I do believe that's correct.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. He's a second degree asshole. Okay.
He has said things very recently, like, I have personally been involved in 3 shootings and not a single one has ever bothered me.
I feel nothing.
Like, I mean, he said, "I've never, not one has ever bothered me."
Devoid is, of context and compassion, as well as knowledge and understanding.
Yeah,
of anything other than I'm a police officer and what his duty is supposedly and what that duty supposedly allows him to do. Unfortunately, what he believes and others who support him believe that allow them to do are in violation of civil rights and what procedures the Minneapolis Police Department has mitigating those procedures.
Like, for example, when the mayor, or no, when was it Walt? Our governor like made it so that you couldn't do the militarized police training anymore. And like Bob Kroll made it so that they could go do it anyway if they wanted to.
It was Mayor Frey. And he said, as long as Frey is mayor of Minneapolis, essentially killer cop training, the marauder
warrior training.
It'll be free for all officers as long as Jacob Frey is mayor of Minneapolis, as long as they have this, you know, fairly progressive, but not super progressive or left or anything, Democrat mayor. Bob Kroll is a member of a motorcycle club. I think this is important. He's a member of a motorcycle club where members of the club have jacket patches that include 1% patches, sun wheel patches, and a number of other overtly white supremacist patches on their motorcycle club jackets. That is, if you don't know about motorcycle clubs, if you have a jacket or a vest or whatever it is that has your motorcycle club emblem on it, the things you put on that jacket are things that are fairly representative of your club, mm-hmm. of your gang. And Bob Kroll is down with these guys. There's a number of things that point towards him being an active white supremacist, other than like his job performance and the words that come out of his mouth, if that isn't enough for you.
Yeah.
Even our former mayor, R.T. Ryback, referenced him as being racist in a recent letter.
Mm-hmm.
The ex-chief of police Hartung, right?
Yeah, yep. Former chief Hartung was like, I tried to get his ass out.
Yep.
He's like freaking stink on fish. He's like, dude is he's about as persistent as racism.
Oh, weird.
And I'll say as well that 7 months ago, our current president of the United States came here and celebrated Bob Kroll in front of a litany of officers in Cops for Trump t-shirts.
Yep.
Designed and sold by Bob Kroll out of the police union headquarters.
He made money.
In response to a rule that any police working it or police active in downtown for those events couldn't
be in uniform.
They couldn't represent themselves politically in uniform or attend in uniform. So Bob Kroll's response was to make
cops for Trump
t-shirts.
Just to make sure everyone knows you're a cop.
The proceeds went to Trump. Another important thing to know, what I feel is Bob Kroll's wife is Liz Collins, mm-hmm. Susan Collins.
Liz Collins,
a local reporter for WCCO. That station won't touch him and won't do stories about him.
Or investigate anything.
Yeah. She will, if you ask him about her or her about him, they won't talk about it.
So this isn't a problem that just happened like this. And like, if you're not from around here and you're like, what happened in Minneapolis? Like, it's been simmering. I mean,
five and a half years ago when we had the police murdered a young man named Jamar Clark.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time that murder happened, I saw a report that said that the Twin Cities were in line to be the next Ferguson because of the blatant harassment and abuses by the police, because of the extreme economic disparity between blacks and whites. We rank last, I believe, of any state mm-hmm. in the country. Mm-hmm. The racial systems that focus on our neighborhoods and our education. We were primed for this kind of a explosion of rage for a really long time. And I thought that this would happen when Philando Castile was killed.
I did too.
Oh yeah.
And you know, those protests were peaceful for both Jamar Clark and Philando Castile, but they fell on deaf ears. Justice was never found. And so here we are a third time. And these are just the most public killings by police officers.
The murder.
Public known cases. The ones that were, you know, where you have people on camera or like more specific detail. They're not the only ones. But this is the one that made the pot boil over.
With the notable exception of Justine Damon.
Right.
Well, so quick question, was Jamar Clark, was he in one of the cities proper? Was he in Minneapolis or St. Paul?
North Minneapolis.
Okay, because I know that Philando Castile was in Roseville.
Falcon Heights.
Okay, Falcon Heights. Was it Falcon Heights police or was it St. Paul police with him?
I believe Falcon Heights is operated by St. Anthony police officers.
I think, yeah. And I've wondered if that was, for some people, if that was part of the distinction, right? Like it was like, oh, well, that's a different police, you know, like that's not. And I wonder if it's because it was the Minneapolis police this time that things went bad. But then the Justine Damon case is.
Yeah, can we get different. Back to that so that Greg
yeah,
can.
Yeah. Yeah.
Greg, please tell us about that because that's important for for context.
Oh, yeah. Well, Justine Damon was a white woman.
Oh, yeah.
Who was killed by a Minneapolis police department officer who happened to be black. Not only was he black, he was a Somali American. So he was black and an immigrant, and he shot a white woman. And guess what? That police officer was convicted and is now serving time.
Yeah.
And it's not like he shouldn't be.
Right.
Because
right.
he killed somebody. But right. it's very notable that only a black police officer has been convicted of murder when there are three other police officers that we're just talking about now who are guilty of murder. And so far, two of them got off. We don't know. Mm-hmm. No, we don't know about the third because he's only just been charged.
There's four there.
No, he's talking about the other cases.
Oh, the other cases. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Like Duck's saying, you know, similar to how, you know, we talked about, you know, with COVID-19 that people have been saying for a few years that America was primed for something like this to happen, a pandemic that would catch us off guard and really fuck us. So was Minneapolis just waiting for this to happen and catch us not off guard, shouldn't be off guard, because everybody I know who is a person of color who lives in Minneapolis has experienced a hassling by the police or some sort of microaggression by the police, if not macro, like aggressions, illegal detainment, etc.
So I will add that it's definitely not just an issue of the Minneapolis police department. I've definitely been harassed in St. Paul. I've been harassed in Roseville. I've been harassed in Bloomington. I've been, you know, all wherever I go in the Twin Cities, it's an issue.
What's amazing to me is I am a white woman of reasonable, like wealth and accommodation, and I've gotten harassed by the police. So I can't even fucking imagine how much worse it is to have, you know, a different color skin or to be poor. You know, because they hassle people from a class and systemic, you know, base too, right? A wealth basis. And it is, I just, the police are a fucking problem. And so, the blue situation, that they bleed blue, that they have blue lives. Yeah.
I was mentioning this to somebody the other day that, as a fun little Facebook thing. This is, you know, not related to this. They were talking about how like a lot of superhero origins come from like the fears that they have. So like Batman is Batman because he was afraid of bats,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they were like, well, what's, you know, what fear would your superhero be? You know, like if you're afraid of spiders, mm-hmm. you'd be Spider-Man.
Sure.
If you were afraid of puns, you'd be Pun Man, you know.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, I'm Policeman.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Because nothing scares me. Nothing scares me in the world more than the fucking police.
I feel the same. And I can't even imagine. I'm fucking white. Like, I seriously, like, I am afraid. Every time I've gotten pulled over, I've been terrified that this is going to be the cop that rapes me, that this is going to be the cop that decides to fuck with me. And it's, and I don't even have like a systemic oppression to back that up. That's just like, that's just what cops do.
there's no repercussions there. Yeah. They operate with impunity.
I turned right on a red light when there was a sign that said during school hours, no right on red. And I turned right on red and I knew there was a cop behind me and he fucking pulled me over. And I was all like, this is going to be, you know, and I was like, actually, officer, you know, the law says this. And he made me walk with him back to the sign to read the sign to see that I was right. At which point he said, you're lucky I don't fucking arrest you. And like, get back to your car.
What?
And it was just like, shit. I was right. Like, and I'm, and again, a white
not
lady,
like a
young white lady at the time.
Like, sorry about that.
Nope.
My bad.
Nope. Or like, boy, that's embarrassing or any of it. No. And so like, and if I were black, I'd probably be dead. You know, like,
or you'd run your plates just to make sure that you weren't wanted for something else.
Just to make sure. Or, just to make sure.
You know, you might magically fit the description.
So, I know everyone, at least everyone with a conscience right now, is trying to think of what they can do, what they can do, where they can go, how they can help. What ideas do we have for people that, I mean, obviously there's, you know, putting your physical body, you know, in, if you live locally, you know, going to protests and going to the cleanup efforts and actually like, you know, donating your time and your physical effort. But if you are unable to do that, what are some things that people can do who aren't local or who aren't able?
There are lists. People are compiling lists of websites where people can go to donate.
And we've posted a few. We'll post more.
Yeah. First one that comes to mind is Minnesota Freedom Fund. Be aware that if you're asked to send money to a Venmo, that is not legitimate. That's not the Minnesota Freedom Fund one.
Yeah.
But yeah,
there's also Reclaim the Block.
Yep. Reclaim the Block is for police reform.
Mm-hmm. any food bank.
Oh, yeah. Any food bank. There are any in the Twin Cities area. There are any number of, there are so many different groups. I mean, even for individual organizations that were vandalized. Mm-hmm. I know there's a Native American, a school, an organization that helps Native American youth called Migizi, M-I-G-I-Z-I, that has a fundraiser because they were torched. Yep. A couple of area businesses. Notably, like one thing, there are a couple of tweets that went out, for instance, from Gandhi Mahal and from another Ethiopian restaurant in that area over by Lake and Hiawatha, where the owners were just like, you know, I have insurance. Oh, your business is on fire. It's like, I have insurance.
Yeah.
And like, this needs to be paid attention to. It's like my insurance. It's like, I can get my business back.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
stuff needs to happen.
Zips in Seward. Zips Liquors. Someone said, how are you protecting your business? I heard you were broken into every night. And the owners of Zips said, we don't have anyone there because we don't value our property over the lives of any of our employees. And it's all replaceable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. Yeah. There are still, there are quite a few.
Yeah, and we'll definitely make sure that we have lists attached to this episode. Duck, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, donating financially is one way to support. But I think especially I want to highlight some other things just especially because, you know, we're in an economic crisis and a health crisis and not everybody's able to get out and shovel up debris or
donate. People are on 25% unemployment rates.
one of the things that I would point to, I have a request of all you breeders out there, all you people who are having kids, people of color always, you know, inevitably end up having the talk with their parents about how this world is set up against them and how that they need to be careful and how things are real. I want you to have the talk with your kids and make sure that they understand the systems of oppression that are happening to people of color, that they understand, that they understand the history behind the issues so that they don't grow up to perpetuate the ignorance that we continue to see. I want you to hold, I want you to hold your relatives, your friends, the people who won't speak their ignorance in front of me and Greg publicly. I want you to call them out and hold them accountable when they put, that poison into our atmosphere. I want you to do your best to not put, your labor on the backs of people of color.
That's I think a really important distinction here is that for a lot of white people, their tendency and is to go, well, what should I do? Let me go see what the black people are saying and have them. And I don't want to be doing that here. So like, I would say to add to that, that like, it is important that every white person who believes it, change your fuck. I know it sounds like it's just nothing, but like post on Facebook, say that this is how you feel. Say that that Black Lives Matter. Say that you are with the protesters and say that you believe that the police need to be changed or disbanded or reformed. And if you don't think that, shut the fuck up. No one needs to hear that you disagree right now. I'm sorry. I don't care.
If you find yourself in a position where you're trying to tell black people how they're supposed to react.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
If the words "why are they burning down their own city" come out of your mouth, you need to shut the fuck up. Because that's like, if you're saying "they," ask yourself who that is.
Yeah,
that is a thing I will task all white people with. When you post and you say "they," verb, who is that "they"? Don't use a pronoun. Use your fucking nouns. You know, like who are you talking about? Because it probably is racist.
I feel like if people had a two strike policy for people in their lives when it comes to this kind of thing, where it was like, you know, white people, your friends, they say something stupid, they get a mistake, you make an effort, you try to educate, you kind of try to correct, you try to guide them to this particular, man, I don't even want to say enlightenment because that sounds like this is something complicated. This is pretty simple.
Awareness.
Yeah, awareness, right. Acknowledging your privilege a little bit. And if people don't, if they aren't on board with that when you present that and when you show them what this is and you try empathy, then I think you got to have a zero tolerance for these people in your life. I think, I know some people disagree with that and they say that like you need to educate and not isolate. But like, I feel like if people are going to be willfully ignorant, like if you have a friend in your circle that is a shithead and all your other friends are like, he's kind of a shithead. And everyone just kind of looks the other way when he's a racist shithead. You and your friends need to cut that person out of your friend circle if they don't come around after a talk. And eventually these people will come around or they will die out.
One thing I'll say to that too is, some people are never going to change. You can talk to them, you know, till you're blue in the face and they're not going to change. But what you can change is the atmosphere that they exist in. You can change the environment that they exist in. If you can get everybody else in that group to be like, you can't say that shit. You might not change their mind, but you can shut them the fuck up.
Another trap that people fall into and that people say is like, oh, you can't talk about this sort of stuff on social media. Social media is useless. It's just like it's just a circle jerk. It's just a bubble and whatever.
Keyboard activist.
I firmly believe that that's bullshit for two reasons. Number one, in every revolution throughout history, regardless of who was doing the revolution, the media available at the time was a tool. We have social media now. This is a tool. Television was a tool. Radio was a tool. Print was a tool that was not available before the time that print and printing leaflets became used. You know, people used to think that people would just read themselves into a stupor, into idiocy, because they had their face in this print and whatever. And so, no, it's like, no, social media is a tool. Second reason is because you never know who else is observing what's going on. So I will again expend a whole lot of energy talking to people who are absolutely stubborn in their refusal, willfully ignorant, and of course, and most enraging of all, usually white people who are sure that they know more about racism than I do.
And well, Greg, they don't are, you know that the Irish are a dime, were slaves?
They are a dime a dozen.
We like, learned about it for the, 2 weeks in history. So
the thing, and like another thing to that point is like, everybody thinks that they're telling you something that you haven't heard. And that ties into the cult of individualism that this country has been built on. There is, everybody thinks, there's not everybody. That's hyperbolic and inaccurate. A lot of people think, or shall I just say, too many people think that because they are an individual, that their thoughts are unique and that their ideas are unique.
I heard
not necessarily.
I heard it called relentless individualism.
Yes, relentless individualism. You are a unique individual, but to a degree greater than you might be aware, your thoughts are a product of your environment. And that depends on who you are economically and according to skin tone and nationality. So and what you receive is based on these things. And so butting heads, and I'm sure Duck can attest to this. I'm sure women can attest to this. Anybody who's any part of any marginalized group has butted their heads against somebody who's of an in-group, of the privileged group, who thinks that they're telling you something that you don't already know. Aha, I got you. You know, but no. But I have had people reach out to me, occasionally reach out to me personally and not like in front of the whole arena and stuff, and said, like, I've learned a few things and done some, you know, this affected me. So you never know who else is watching. And at some point, you know, you definitely have to cut your losses because you're putting in a whole lot of energy. And you have to just, you know, and you have to take faith, which is difficult to have sometimes. Yeah. You have to take faith that somebody, at least one person, is going to be affected in the way you hope people are affected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't want to take up too much time, but about 4 years ago, when Colin Kaepernick was kneeling at football games, my brother-in-law was making all sorts of posts about how nobody was this awful to Tim Tebow. When Tebow was kneeling after scoring touchdowns, and I went at him super hard about it.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom, and he was just obstinate as fuck. And my mom came to me and she was like, "Why are you doing this? You're never going to change his mind." And I said, "I'm not trying to change his mind. I could give a fuck what he thinks. It's too late. I'm trying to change the mind of everybody who's looking at this argument by being the reasonable voice in the room." Yeah. And I think that's what I keep reminding myself when I have these conversations online, is I'm not trying to change the mind of the person I'm talking to. I'm trying to find those people out there that don't know what to think and get them to think the right thing.
Yeah.
Duck, what you were saying before about making the like an atmosphere of intolerance to racism or making sure that's all out there for people. Like, if you can't change the individual, change the environment.
Yeah.
I had an example of that at my work. There's a guy who we use a chat system like Slack for a lot of our stuff. There's a guy who uses, he's kind of a shithead, and he uses a lot of like Pepe the Frog memes and shit like that. And I haven't seen him do anything overtly racist. It's all very casually shitty and under the radar and technically fine. And I've had conversations with this guy. I'm never going to change this guy's mind. I've heard him say, other shitty things that I'm not going to change his mind. But I did talk to some managers and send some links to the Anti-Defamation League and talk about white nationalist icons and stuff like that. And you can't use those in our work chat anymore. You can't use those people's pictures in that way at our work anymore. And I think you can be an agent for change in your workplace. Not everyone can choose what company they work for, right? You might not have the privilege of saying, I'm not going to work for this company that isn't as diverse as I would choose. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. once your foot is in that door and once you work there, you can make recommendations for hires. You can try to get involved in the interview process and have feedback and input into who becomes your coworkers and who works for you. And you can change your professional environment and be a force for good there.
Karen, that shit. White ladies of the world, speak to the manager. I'd like to speak to the manager of systemic racism, please. I am very angry. I will say too, I've heard some people who are like, well, obviously I believe Black Lives Matter, but I'm having a problem with this because my family is cops, or I've got friends who are cops, or what do I, and they're not bad people. And I would say this, I've been saying it to strangers on Twitter. Ask your police member family people to make a public post about how they think that this was wrong. See if they do. And when they don't, ask them why they won't. And talk about it. Because, that's the thing is, it's been going around. But, if you've got 10 bad cops and 1,000 good cops who don't speak up about the 10 bad cops, you have 1,010 bad cops. That is how it goes. So, put them to the fire. Seriously, you don't have to be super confrontational. You can do it, person to person, but ask them, say, hey, will you make a public post about George Floyd's murder and about these protests and about police violence and how you're against police brutality? And if they won't do it, make them tell you why, just like you make somebody explain a racist joke. Make them explain.
Exactly. And now is the time. Well, anytime anything like this has happened, but don't wait for the next time this happens. Now is the next opportunity for the good cops to stand up and to speak out. There was a link that my fiance showed me that her sister sent her about, this project called the Use of Force Project, and they looked at various major cities and what their stances are on use of force. And they were, so they've made this public, and all how police use of force policies can help to end police violence. It's called the useofforceproject.org. Okay. And they have, they're right at the top. It says police use of force policies currently lack basic protections against police violence. These policies often fail to include common sense limits on police use of force, including failing to require officers to de-escalate in situations, allowing officers to choke or strangle civilians, mm-hmm. failing to require officers to intervene and stop excessive force, failing to restrict officers from shooting at moving vehicles, failing to develop a force continuum. Number six is failing to require officers to exhaust all other reasonable means before resorting to deadly force, failing to require officers to give a verbal warning, failing to require officers to report each time they use force or threaten to use force. And
it's so insane that all that is just you don't have to
ambiguous.
Do it. They have a table of a number of major cities and 100 major cities and an easy to read chart, yes, they have this policy. No, they don't. Yeah. And only two cities out of the 100 have blue all the way across.
Jesus Christ.
And if you look at Minneapolis, it's it's surprising which ones that are blue, and it's not surprising which ones are red. Like the ones that are blue, you're just like, well, we have, you know, in these instances that we can name, let alone in the response to these demonstrations in the crowds, like they don't appear to have followed, you know, you ask many people and they will tell you that it doesn't appear as if the MPD has been de-escalating, that they have only been escalating.
Yeah.
Ever since this happened, they've only been escalating ever since.
Yeah. So as well, while we're talking about good cops, I want to say that this really isn't about separating the good cops from the bad cops. It doesn't matter who's a good cop or a bad cop. You know, my fear is that we'll look at these four officers as isolated incidents. Mm-hmm. And it's not. They're a symptom of a bigger problem. Mm-hmm. The symptoms that cause them to behave this way are deep in the core of what's going on. So we need to, you know, so who's a good cop and who's a bad cop doesn't matter because we can't differentiate them from each other.
We can't
hold a bad cop accountable. So how do we have to respond as a civilian? We have to respond like every cop is that bad cop, that every cop is that guy who could pull me over, stand on my neck while I'm handcuffed for 9 minutes. Till I die. That cop could be the cop that sexually assaults me on the side of his police car. That cop could be the cop who gets scared and shoots his gun and kills me.
And gets and doesn't get prosecuted because he was a scared.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's the thing too, is like you hear from the cops and they're like, well, for our side, like we never know the person that we're talking to who's going to, you know, be a murderer and pull a gun on us. And it's like, right, that's the job. Like that's the job you signed up for. So if that's not okay with you, then you need to not be a fucking cop. If you're so afraid of people that you're afraid you're going to get killed, that you need to have your gun drawn, then this isn't the job for you.
Well, and I understand that it's a dangerous job and that they're in potentially dangerous situations very frequently. But that can't be the excuse.
No, and it's not.
You're in those situations all the time, Doc.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, how many people have you guys killed?
And you didn't sign up for it or
no comment.
Don't answer that. Yeah, you know what? Don't answer that. No, but there are plenty of people who are in dangerous situations all the time who don't fucking kill people.
There are lots of dangerous jobs.
Well, and I think it's one thing if we hold people accountable. Mm-hmm. You know, but none of the officers in any of those instances are held accountable. Nobody goes, oh crap, you're a shitty cop. We need to, you know, sorry, you got to go work someplace else.
Yeah,
we can't even. Oh my gosh, I made a mistake.
We can't even remove these officers from their jobs. The officer who the primary murderer of George Floyd has years of complaints against him for excessive force.
Including when Amy Klobuchar declined to bring charges against him when she was the attorney general.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And I mean.
That bitch.
The
audacity of that bitch lately. I just can't take it.
being critical against all of that, understand that the system is set up to make it virtually impossible to prosecute him anyway, given the kind of Supreme Court rulings that they have to navigate around to be able to bring charges against these cops anyway. The cop unions, which unions are designed, and Nick has brought this up, and I think it's really important. Unions are designed to protect the powerless. Cops have all the power. The cop union is designed to protect those who already are in power and allow them to maintain and coordinate that power.
It's like having a senator's union. To make sure that how stupid does that sound?
A millionaires union.
Yeah, right. Like a union to make sure the senators don't like get their feelings hurt.
I think they have millionaires unions. They're called lobbyists.
Oh, that's true. But 2 points off of that, Tim. Number one, not only is it built into, and this is where it ties in, not only is it built into the law enforcement system, but it's built into our country's identity and OS. It's mm-hmm. in our OS.
Yeah.
Especially as long as the person is anybody other than a white person, then the cop was justified. All you have to do is, as long as it's somebody, as long as somebody who's black or Asian or Latinx or indigenous, well, they had a record, or I was scared, or mm-hmm. whatever. It doesn't matter. Like Duck and I, like so many black people, like you can find on Twitter, on Facebook, wherever, people who are compiling lists of things you can't do while black, when all you need to do is just have one word, and that word is live.
Like, yeah. I can't imagine, like, if I was to be killed by the police tomorrow, like, people would be sad, but within 5 minutes, somebody would be like, look at what this guy said at vilification tennis. He deserved
it. For real. No, yeah. For real. Like, I've got video of him telling misogynist jokes. Yeah. Look at that. Yeah. Look at this. Look.
Yeah. That dude stole a candy bar in 1997. Who knows what he's stolen since then?
Yeah.
It's just, but, it's insane.
But, like, when white, see, if, and it's not like white people don't get killed in such incidents, but either, like, if white people were killed at a rate at which other groups were killed, then there'd be some shit going on.
Oh, yeah.
On.
There'd be a full on revolution.
Oh, yeah.
There would be some shit going on. But instead, it's like you have the well, they're cops, you know, and they have a dangerous job. And, you know, there's that narrative, or there's the lost sheep narrative. It's like, oh, that person was a lost sheep and it's a shame. Mm-hmm. Or people will spin the mentally ill thing, which is a whole other problem. Like putting that part, like we don't have time to get into that. So there's that. So it's in the fabric of our nation. Whenever somebody says this is not our country, that's always a bullshit statement.
It's in our constitution.
It's a true
statement.
It's built
into the document we worship.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, like Duck and I have, like, without the amendment that protects me and Duck, mm-hmm. people could still legally and would still legally how do I reframe this? There would be much less recourse to assert our equality as humans, right. Because, mm-hmm. oh, you know, we're not specially mentioned in these amendments. Yeah. So it's in the fabric of their country. Like somebody, like a tweet resurfaced yesterday, a couple of days ago, that somebody did like a year ago. It's like, oh, wait, this is a dark country. Our country is not, you know, flip through history book. Oh, flip some more. Oh my God.
Oh, God. Oh no.
Shit. You know, it is in the fabric of our country. Like every time something happens and people protest, somebody always, not somebody, well, yes, a larger somebody. People is like, well, why aren't they protesting peacefully? It's like,
yeah,
like, dude, you know, it's like freaking like Colin Kaepernick is out of a job because you couldn't fucking handle him kneeling at the national anthem. You know, Muhammad Ali, who was vilified for, number one, changing his name because he converted.
Oh, yeah.
Number two, for refusing to go to Vietnam because, quote, no Viet Cong ever called me nigger, unquote. You know, oh, that was mm-hmm. un-American. How dare he? Mm-hmm. Elvis went to war and whatever. You know, Martin Luther King Jr. was shot.
There was like, be a peaceful protester like MLK. It's like, you shot him.
Yeah. It's like, the people who showed up at those protests were freaking beaten by the cops, hoses, dogs, whatever. Yeah. You know, you can't even handle being told no. You can't even handle being told, because of science and disease vectors, you should probably put a mask on.
Stay
home. Like, you can't even fucking handle. You people can't even fucking handle. And you know what I mean when I say you people.
I saw a tweet that said, boy, white people sure went from, you can't make me stay in my house, that's illegal, to, you guys got to observe the curfew, the cop said so, real fast. It was like 1 week.
Yeah, real fast. And holy crap, I even like... Yeah. I even freaking digressed from my second point based on Steve's thing about unions. The second thing was about unions. And another tweet that I saw today from Steve Fletcher of Minneapolis Ward 3 pretty much called out the idea of Bob Kroll and the police union, where he was like, yeah, he's like, I want to be clear. I am about as pro-union as a person can be. The Police Federation should not be thought of as a union. They do not affiliate with the AFL-CIO. They mm-hmm. don't walk picket lines in solidarity. Mm-hmm. How do I know? Because I do, and I've never seen them on a line, not once.
Yep.
And like that is number one, that's something I didn't know. So I was today years old when I learned that. Like they don't operate as a union except in name. I mean, they might legally be a union, but mm-hmm. they don't act like a union except when Bob Kroll decides to say, hey, we're a union.
Aren't unions nonprofit? I mean, because if they are,
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Cause if they are, they couldn't have even sold those cops for Trump shirts out of their union hall.
I don't know that they are, but
there's a lot of disservice done by, like, if the police union acted as a union, they would be lobbying for aftercare for, like, after an incident. You need to freaking, like, you need to handle that. You need to handle that's a stressful situation. The officers need to go through, you know, you need some sort of mental evaluation. You need help. Like the same sort of things that our veterans don't get when they return from service. You know, police are underserved in that way. Police are underpaid. You know, police are denied proper training tools because of people with a similar mindset to Kroll. Like some of the work I do, like one of the ways I cobble together an income is with crisis intervention training. There is no shortage of crisis intervention training companies here in the Twin Cities. But, you know, Bob Kroll was among those people who's like, right. No, screw this kumbaya right. shit. When it's shown, like the people that I work with are law enforcement officers in surrounding areas. They work in sheriff's offices. They work in detention centers. And some of these people were disbelievers and they're just like, I'm just here because I'm voluntold, but they go through the program and then they apply this crisis intervention training, which is like no chemical agents, no physical mm-hmm. altercation. You know, you talk to people and the warden's like, you know, warden said you can talk as long as you need to this person. So they spend 20, 30, 40, an hour, minute, you know, 60 minutes talking to people, but they get compliance, no shots are fired. You don't have to call in a crew. You don't have to worry about a blood kit and you don't have to fill out a report. And you have somebody who feels listened to and the officer gets to go home or gets to go back to the precinct or back to their car safely. And that's one more person who has faith because they were treated like a human being as opposed to automatically a suspect. And
yeah,
that is one of the big things with racial disparity is that more often than not, anybody that you're treated as a suspect.
Yeah. And this is, I was going to make a Kendall Jenner Pepsi joke, but that was, we went past that. But do you remember that commercial, that Super Bowl commercial where she like brought a Pepsi in the middle of the riots and then everyone was fine? Like, Jesus Christ. This has been, I want to thank you both so much for coming on the show. This is a super good long episode and I think we could talk all night, honestly, about all of the things that there are that need fixing.
Almost like there's hundreds of years of history to draw from.
But I would like I want to give everybody a chance, each of us a chance to say just a final thought to leave people with whatever that means to you. Let's start with Tim here. Do you have a final thought, Tim?
Black Lives Matter.
Yeah. Nick?
You don't owe anybody your Facebook or friendship. Including family members, if you have shitty family members, you need to listen to people of color and, mm-hmm. and, in a way that isn't like, hey, do this work for me so I can listen to you and learn as a white person. Like, they're already talking.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, said already, talk to your kids.
Greg?
Become aware of the ways in which you have ignored the peaceful approaches, the peaceful engagements. People of color, Black, Indigenous people of color, are peaceful every day in ways that are invisible. And some of them are invisible because are invisible. It's ignored that it's because we don't want subjugation.
Yeah.
We don't want to subdue. That's a big fear, is it's a big psychological point that a lot of us know, and we're always shouted down or told we are crazy or we don't know what we're talking about. A big fear is that white people are scared that we will do to them what they and their forebears have done to us and our forebears. And if we wanted that, things would have been a lot less livable for generations.
Yeah.
So let that be your guide. And then Tim Wise, Jane Elliott, Robin DiAngelo, start there. Listen to, like, actually listen to more than that fragment of I Have a Dream. James Baldwin, Audre Lorde.
Yep.
Lots. Yes. There's a lot. There's a wealth out there and it's waiting for you.
Duck.
The reason why this conversation matters right now, or why people are listening to this conversation right now, is because white people are uncomfortable. And there are many reasons why white people are uncomfortable. I charge you with remaining uncomfortable, to not let a couple of days pass and relax back into your sofas and your recliners and think that everything is done. The work that needs to be done is astronomically large. It's not just these four officers. It's the whole police system. It's the whole criminal justice system. We need to reframe laws in the courts so that they're less biased. We need to reframe the prison justice system so that people can have reform and redemption, and we don't just look back at like some charge from a million years ago and say that person hit a guy once, he deserved to die. So stay vigilant, stay uncomfortable, and stay with us.
Thank you so much. This is like just really great. If you guys, I would say to don't tag your POC friends on posts and be like, come in here and explain racial privilege or racial problems to my friends here. Like, you do it. Like, if you need to go borrow some words, fucking do it. But stop tagging people to be like, oh, hey, Doc, can you help? My aunt said a racist thing. Like, it's not their job. Thank you very much. We've been Geeks Without God, and we'll see you on Tuesday.
Much love,
Black
everybody.
Lives Matter.
Bye, y'all. Thank you for listening. Thank you.
Stay safe, stay angry, and stay uncomfortable.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. Authority, we don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God.
Social media!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.